Welcome to the Like Sharing is the Place podcast. I'm your host, Katie Bolter. This podcast shines a light on women who are owning their careers and making an impact in the business world. Each week, we sit down with a successful and inspiring woman entrepreneur or leader to hear their story. The highs, the lows, and everything in between. From startup founders to corporate executives, our guests share their insights, struggles, and hard-won wisdom to inspire and empower other women who are on a similar journey. This isn't your typical business podcast. We believe in being real and honest about what it takes to be a woman in business, and we're not afraid to get into the nitty-gritty of the challenges and obstacles that women face in the workplace. Our guests share their experiences with imposter syndrome, work-life balance, gender bias, and more, giving listeners a realistic and honest look at what it takes to succeed in today's business world. Whether you're an inspiring entrepreneur yourself, a seasoned businesswoman, or simply someone who wants to hear inspiring stories from badass women who are making their mark, Like She Owns the Place is the podcast for you. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, because on this podcast, we believe that when women support women, anything is possible. Welcome back to the Like She Owns the Place podcast. My name is Katie Bolter and I am your host. Today, I will be interviewing Laken Chinpoy, who is a boundaries and business mentor. With over 10 years experience in running her own businesses and building three companies, boundaries, personal power, and communication has been the foundations she has built her success upon. Creating a life that thrives through having the people around her become responsible for themselves and rise into their own power has created life-altering results in all areas for Laken. After moving to Australia from New Zealand when she was young, she experienced many life-changing events that had her continually having to rise to be where she is today. From abuse, suicide, DV relationships, being a single mom, and finding herself bankrupt in over $100,000 worth of debt at 23, she has learned deeply how to access personal power. These days, she is married in a 10-year relationship that has grown through many, many stages together. She is a mom of two teenagers who she's raising to be self-led, resilient, and empowered humans, and she is so deeply lit up with where they are living life from their power, changing generational wealth, creating thriving relationships, and a life and business that she is proud of. So without further ado, let's start having a chat with Laken. Good morning, Laken. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Katie. Thank you so much. It's actually afternoon where I am, but
I did forget that. I even forget in Australia when there's different time zones, but I did remember to put it in my email reminder. But yes, 1 p.m., which is something I really would love to dive straight into, your recent move to New Zealand and how that all came about.
Wow, there's so much there. So about 12 weeks ago, like a little bit of context, about 12 weeks ago, me and my husband of almost 10 years got married. And I guess we were in a position in life where life was good. Like, and that kind of seemed a little bit bizarre. It's like, well, life was good, but it was like, life was good to the point that it was starting to be boring. You know what I mean? And it's like, we were just getting complacent in areas. And it was like, okay, what's our next edge here? Like, what's something that we really desire to do that's going to be the next stretch? And it wasn't like wanting to open up another business or anything like that. It was like, do you want to move country? Like, do you want to just like sell everything and go? And obviously we talked about it in the past, but it was just like one decision on a Saturday, one decision. We got an appraisal the same day, and literally within the first 24 hours, our house sold. But within a few weeks, I closed down my business of over a decade. We sold the house. We obviously spoke to our kids, and within 4 weeks, we're living in another country.
That is honestly crazy. I guess that is also one of the good things about how the market is at the moment. It's not like you were kind of sitting in limbo for a good couple of months being like, okay, how do we kind of make the next step? People are really hungry to buy their properties. And so that really helped express this for you. But I think so many things kind of stem off this move. You just mentioned, I actually love how you mentioned that it wasn't starting a new business. I think a lot of us, me included, get really tied up in like, I'm complacent. What am I going to do next? And like come up with all these elaborate business plans. And then you start doing things and you're like, I actually don't have more time to do these things. So looking at other areas in your life where you can get that fix to keep growing and moving in different directions without filling up your time, crazy amounts of things. But you mentioned you closed your business of 10 years. So let's take it back 10 years. What was that business and how did you get started in that business?
So 10 years ago, I found myself a single mom of two children overnight. So at the time I was 23-ish and I had a one-year-old and a four-year-old at the time. And I really, back then I was like, I was a stay-at-home mom. I had been in beauty since I left school. So it was something that I was qualified in. It was something that I'd always been a part of, something that I did. And then when I become a single mom, I was on the pension. I was going through a lot in my life. So I lost my family home. I lost everything that I owned in the separation. I went through bankruptcy, went through court, went through a lot of things. And there was just a point one day where I was working for someone else. And I just remember having this internal nudge, like I wasn't happy there. And it was just like, there's got to be something else. Like, and I don't know what that was in the moment, but it was like, there's got to be something else. Like I can figure something else out here. You know, I had two small children at the time relying on me. And I literally walked out in my lunch break and I was like, I'm not coming back. Like, I'm not coming back. And it was just not a great atmosphere. I was doing beauty, but it just wasn't a great atmosphere. And I literally had a three-bedroom unit at the time. And I moved my daughter into the same bedroom as her brother. And I started a beauty salon out of my daughter's bedroom. And at the time I had nothing. I had to ask my current husband now, but we were sort of just dating at the time. And I actually reached out and asked him if he would support just to get me a bed and some wax pots and help get me started. And yeah, I started my own beauty salon, House of Queens, and it grew into a six-figure salon within the first year from my daughter's bedroom. So it was pretty crazy. And then House of Queens just evolved as I evolved. So the more it grew, you know, I brought team members on at times. And then when we built our new house, I decided I actually wanted to build my salon at my house rather than have a salon front, because I did have kids and there was a lot happening. It just felt like a really good fit for us. So we actually built a salon onto the front of our house. And House of Queens, I'm just so proud of. Like, it was really, really, really hard to make the decision. And she just become a sought out after beauty salon for natural eyebrow restoration. So I really found my thing in the market. Back then it wasn't as saturated with brows as it is now. And I really built a lot of brand awareness around that. I really built a lot of know, like, and trust. Like, I had a wait list for so long. Like, I didn't take on new clients for the last few years because it was just like, I had clients coming back all the time. It was amazing. And she just really served such a great decade of my life. And then I just knew with the business that I'm sure we'll talk about shortly, my online business, I just knew with that and what has become available for that, there was just a part of me, while I still loved it and I so adored my clients, I was complete. Like, I was ready to, yeah, let it go and see what else was available without the identity of being a beauty therapist, which has been such a journey within itself.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I can completely relate to that. A friend and I were having a conversation the other day about how our business becomes our identity to a point. Like, to other people, we are, like to my friend, people see her as the cafe girl, the vegan cafe girl. And then people see me as like the paint and sip girl. And I feel like it becomes such an identity. Is that part of what, like you said, did you get to a point where you were a little bit complacent with being the beauty therapist, the beauty business owner, say that fast three times, that you kind of went into this next stage of yourself, your own self-development, which took you into your next business?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I feel like we always attach to parts of ourselves. Like, the ego always wants to attach to an identity to, for whatever reason, whether it's good or a negative thing. And so it had been all I'd known since I dropped out. Like, I dropped out of school. I didn't even finish grade 10. And it was the first thing that I really went into that I just generally did love. And I've even noticed, like, we've had three businesses. So we owned a CrossFit gym as well. And we sold the gym about a year ago. And letting go of even leading with that conversation, right? The conversation of like, oh, I have three businesses, like letting that part of me go to open up to something new has been really interesting to witness, because there was a piece of my ego that obviously loved it, right? It soothed me to be like, oh, I have three businesses. Like I have this and I have that. And it was, there was no right or wrong, but it's just interesting. Like what we can attach to for significance or validation or all the things, and actually letting those pieces of me go so I can make room for new things to come through that maybe I couldn't see before, because you know we were doing so much with all the other businesses, has been such an interesting journey, yeah, within itself. So I definitely have had to almost grieve that part of me, because it was such a big piece of, I'm the brow lady, like I'm the queen of brows, and really grieving her and letting that piece of me go, and almost like from a place of like, I've actually closed the door and locked it. Like I'm not going back to that. Yeah. And that even sounds like big to say on a podcast, because I haven't said that yet, but it's just like complete with that piece of me.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you feel it's also complete with kind of taking the lessons and the growth that you took from it into the next part of it, but not having that, I guess, the safety of falling back and going, well, if this doesn't succeed, I can just go back to brows. Like, I think a lot of people don't progress or go into that next stage of their life fully because they're like, oh, I've still got this kind of like lingering over here, which is like my safety zone. I'll keep it there in case this doesn't work. But that means they're not kind of fully through the door experiencing and going all into the next stage of their business or in whatever stage that is. So
100%.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're right.
I was just going to say, so how did you get into what you're doing now? Can you explain a little bit about your business now and the natural progression that you had and experienced from your first business into this? Because it is quite very different industries.
Very different industries. Yeah. So I'm a boundaries and business mentor, and I do coaching inside of that as well. And I really help women with their business. So even from more of a boundaries and identity level. So for some of the women I work with, I tend to bring in a lot of high achieving women. So for some women, it's really untangling from the business and actually learning how to scale and grow your business without being burnt out, overwhelmed, resenting everything, and really having all areas of your life thrive. So that's relationships, that's money, that's all the things. And then I also do the strategy and strategic side of helping people build the back end of the business, but building it from a place of alignment, building it from a place of like what actually works for you. Like, let's find your thing and follow that, because it's so vastly different for all of us. So I'm kind of like a one-stop shop in that area for so many things. But how I actually came to be in this space, I actually started in the realm of boundaries, relationships, people pleasing, that kind of, I guess, niche in 2020. So the pandemic actually hit. And at the time we had a really successful CrossFit business and my salon, and they got both completely shut down with a week of each other.
Yes. So both of those industries were definitely, they took the biggest hit.
Yeah. So my salon obviously just come to a complete halt. There's no income coming in if I wasn't working. And then our gym, while we pivoted and got online as fast as we could, we lost about 70% of our clientele because they also lost their jobs or they were going through money problems as well. And so there was like a big hit. And at the time there was no answers, right? We didn't know when any money was going to start. We lent out all of our gym equipment to all of our clients. We shifted online. We were doing Zoom workouts. Like, we did what we could, but the income also wasn't coming in as well. And at the time I had been doing probably 3-4 years worth of self-development work on myself. So I really changed my life from so much, from abuse, you know, dysfunction, all of the things. And I'd really started to see such a change in myself. And I'd already started to lean in by this stage. I'd done my master's in NLP and that type of work. And I'd already started leaning into being like, what if this work could help other people? Like, and I'd done a few clients in person at that time. I was doing hypnotherapy, timeline therapy, life coaching sort of thing. And I had a mentor at the time. And when the pandemic hit, she's like, why don't you shift to online? And I was like, I can do that. Like, there's this online thing. Like, I honestly, Katie, I was so unaware to what this online world was. Like, I knew it existed because obviously I had to build our businesses based online, but I didn't actually understand what was available and what was on the other side of this at all. And so I was like, yeah, I want to help people. Like, it's a time in the world right now people need help the most. Like, let's do it. And so I really claimed my area with boundaries and relationships and people pleasing. And my business just took off. Like, I'm not going to lie. It felt so, you know, easy for me. It just really, it worked straight off the bat. And I didn't really know anything else at that time. I was just like, holy heck. And I was launching my podcast, my website, and all these things were just happening. And it was just like, and at the time, like I will say, we just lost my brother-in-law. So I had my partner at home going through massive grief as this other brand new business just kind of took off out of nowhere. And so there's just been this natural growth and evolution of myself in the business. And so now it's going on 3 years and it's just doing incredibly well. And going back to that safety piece that you said before, what I really got to witness for myself at the end of last year was how much I was holding onto the salon as a backup plan, as a safety thing, because it just hadn't fully landed in my cells that I'm like, this actually isn't going anywhere. Like, I've created this and this gets to be my life now. And even reprogramming myself to realize I can take my business anywhere in the world now and make massive impacts, like, it took time. And I was like, Lakin, how much more evidence do you freaking need? Like, you've got the evidence that this is working. It's safe. Like, you can let this go and you can choose this from an actual place of like overflow. Whereas like the salon was amazing, but it was always from needing it to work in the beginning because I was a single mom, you know, whereas this was really different. And it was just from a place of like, you've really got yourself now. Like, you can let this go and just feel so secure. So that's been a little bit of the journey of what's gotten me to here. And now I predominantly work a lot with women in business or women really wanting to work on their boundaries and that still as well.
Yes, I love that so much. I have so many things to say about all that. I started coaching with you in 2020. I think it must have been around like when you were launching. So I was like one of the first people in there ready to go. I was very much in a stage where like I had been stood down from my job. I was in very similar situation, just kind of going through this whole new evolution in like mindset change, because I think a lot of us were just forced to, so which is a good thing. I know in the time there was a lot of stress and worry, and but I think now we all look back and we're like, okay, there was a lot to unwrap and learn and take from that period of time. But it was so weird when I came to Rockhampton, like you said, you still had the salon, and I came and got a tan, and I was like, this is so weird. Like, there's this whole side of Lakin, and now that you say it, it's like it was kind of like you were good at it and it was there and it was like in case you needed it. But from the outside looking in, I could see, I was like, she doesn't really need this. Like, this is just like a nice to have at the moment. Like, this is past. Like, but it's so nice to see now, especially that you're in New Zealand. Like you said, you've gone into a whole other side of your business where you can go wherever you want and still have a business that's thriving and that you're really good and passionate about as well. It's funny you say how it seemed like easy. When people ask me, I'm kind of like, oh, it just felt easy. But when I look at it and like really dig it into it, it was easy because it was what I enjoyed. Like, there was no, I wasn't coming from this place of like stress or like, I need this income or I need to do this. Like, if I fail, like, my life's over. I was doing it because it was exciting and it was fun and I enjoyed it. And so when obstacles popped up, it was like, okay, what do I do? Whereas like when you're coming from the opposite side of things, it's kind of like you're ripping your hair out and you're like, what do I do? Like, it's just two very different paths. And so sometimes I feel a little bit guilty when I say to people, oh, it was actually quite easy. But it's because of the audience when I'm saying that type of thing. Like, when you say it, I'm like, oh, I get it. It was easy, but it still took a lot of work. So I love hearing that. And so Now that you're moving, you've moved overseas, what is the next progression for you and your business? You've closed two of your businesses. So you've gone from, like you said, that ego piece where you're like, I'm a business owner of three businesses, but now you have one business, which I feel is probably outperforming all three combined. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, it definitely is.
Yep. And so what is next for you now that you've moved and you're settling into your new life in New Zealand and your business?
Yeah. I just want to rewind for 1 second on one piece too, just for like, I know a lot of the women in your audience are business or wanting to get into business and that type of thing. You know, that's why they follow your amazingness. And one thing I want to say on the hard piece is there was a really strategic, smart version of me that kept the salon there. So there was a piece, because it's not easy for everyone. Like, that's actually the facts, that having an online business, or as you know, Katie, like a bricks and mortar, like there can be components that are easy because it's just a natural extension of who you are. And also, like, Katie herself was building her brand. I had been building my brand in different ways for so long that when I come online, there was already this no like and trust factor to some extent, because I had bricks and mortar businesses. So what I just want to preference is, if you are in a stage of building where you feel like it's hard, I actually think it can be really smart to keep your job. Like, I just really want to highlight that piece. I think it can be really smart and strategic to not come into the online space from scarcity and lack, because you're actually going to be driving that in your sales, and you're going to be driving that with how you shop online, and it's not a vibe. So while there was definitely a part of me that could have let my salon go well over a year ago, there was actually a piece that it was so smart because my nervous system wasn't freaking frail all the time and just dysregulated. It was actually clean and clear. And I think that's been something that's just helped support me massively, that I've come from such a clean space because I had income coming in other areas as well.
Yeah. And in regards to that, what kind of process did you go through when you did finally make that decision? Like you said, there was a point where like everything was going well, but if we were inside the conversation between yourself and Dan, what were the factors where you were like, okay, no, this is the right time to do, sell the businesses, close this business, we'll put the, like, how did that conversation come up? And what were some key points, I guess, that you were, I guess, milestones where you were like, okay, this is when this will be the progression?
Yeah. I feel like for our gym, it was like the gym was Dan's dream. So he was the natural, like he was leading it. And then I was supporting the back end of it. And so when it come to the gym, when Dan lost his brother, like life changed a lot of what was important for us. And it always makes me emotional thinking about him. Like, and it just really put into perspective, like, what actually makes us happy, what brings us the most joy. And so, you know, Dan kept doing the gym for a while because he's so passionate about it. Like, he's still, like, he PTs now, he generally loves it. But the conversation really looked like we rate things like basically from 0 to 10. Mm-hmm. And with our business, on the scale of 0 to 10, if it's under a 4, it's time to let it go, you know, and it's getting really honest with yourself. And that can be scary. Like, we've literally walked away and left money on the table because, like, running a business from misalignment is just not worth the long-term cost. Like, it's going to cost you. And so we had two choices with the gym in particular, and it was either evolve it forward and really take it to the next level and bring on more staff, buy more equipment, like go big, or sell it and evolve it forward into someone that generally loves it and cares about it and like keeps the community there. And that felt like the best choice. And again, it was still like such a big decision because at that time we were leaving that with Dan stepping into nothing. Like, you know, so it was such a big thing. And then with the salon, it had been a conversation in my mind for a long time. But when I finally got to the point, honestly, I just got sick of my own bullshit. I was like, Lakin, you're either out or you're in. Like, make an actual decision. And integrity is really big to me. And I was soothing my own BS around why it wasn't the right time to let it go or why it wasn't this and that. And I just finally had a conversation with myself. And I really just said, like, I wanted to get to know myself at the edge of being all in this business. Like, I really want to see what I'm capable of and what I'm made of. And I knew that piece. So it was more of a self-trust piece of just really being like, you've got this, you've got all the evidence. There's nothing more than you need. And there was honestly a thread, which is interesting because it's what I teach, but there was a thread of people pleasing. There was a thread of like not wanting to let my clients down, not wanting them to be hurt. And I couldn't be available for that anymore. So I just had to really make that decision. And then the next piece as humans is we've got to take the action, because if we don't, another 3 months goes by and it's like, oh, I'm still here. So it was like decision made, post went up that night. And it was like, yeah, I'm closing 22nd of the 12th, 22. And I just actioned it straight away, even shaking in my space boots, because then it actually becomes a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know this is probably not a contributing factor for you as such, but I feel like once I post something on social media, like that's it. Like I'm like, okay, I've really commit to this now because I've put it out there. Like it's not just like you were saying before, I will like make a decision and then I'll like fluff around in the back end and I'm like, it's fine. No one knows I made that decision. Like I don't really have to do anything about it. Like I've just made the decision to make myself feel good. But then when I'm like, okay, I've put it out there, it's like there's no backing down now, because I am somebody who like, if I want to lead by example and I've made a decision, I actually have to follow through with it now. So yeah, when you said putting it on socials, I'm like, well, that's some serious decision. Like that's cemented now. Everyone knows.
Yeah, definitely.
So you were talking about, and I'm trying not to refer to too many things without context, because I've been watching you on socials from the very beginning. So I'm like, I feel like I know all the info. But you mentioned before Katie, which was not me, Katie, but you have also invested a lot into your own education, mentorship, and things like that. What recommendations would you give to people who are wanting to start working with a mentor? I realized a few weeks ago, I've been working with somebody from 2020, like a few different coaches, started with yourself and working with a few different ones. And so I now see the level, the connection and the quality that I want from working with a coach, and also the things that I like to want to dive deeper in and work on. But talking to someone who's never experienced or done anything like this or invested in something like this, what would your recommendations be on finding someone that can help them go into those next stages that they might be feeling a little bit frightened about at the moment?
Yeah, this is such a great question. And the first thing that, you know, comes up for me is like, watch people. Like the first thing is like, watch maybe three people that you really like and that you can kind of feel like they're your vibe, and just pay attention for a couple of months. Like get into their world, watch their free stuff, listen to their podcasts, do whatever you can do to really get an understanding of their flavor, how they lead themselves, how they live their life, how they run their business. Like look beyond just what you're being presented with on social media as well. Like, and then also the next piece is like, we actually need to understand a bit better, like the difference between coaching and mentoring, because mm-hmm. they're two different things.
Yeah.
And I flick in and out of both, but predominantly I'm a mentor. So a coach is really someone I would say more to help you through the trenches, help you set a goal, help you achieve that goal, pitch and catch kind of vibes with. Whereas a mentor is like, where do I want to find a home? Where do I want to find someone that has the wisdom, that has the knowledge, that has the relationship, that has the business, that has the thing that's a little bit further ahead of me that can help me walk that journey? Mm-hmm. And there really is a big difference. And the other piece, like what you were saying, Katie, you really wanting to find someone where you can have those conversations with, look for what it is you're actually desiring and wanting. Mm-hmm. Because if you find a strategy coach, and you get in there and you're like, I want to talk about all my shadows and I want to talk about my relationship, and they didn't sign up for any of that shit, you're actually going to probably project onto the coach and say that it was their fault and they're the wrong fit, when really you just didn't do your homework properly to actually figure out what you need. So if it's a strategy coach, like you're going to get strategy. If it's like, ask the questions, like don't be afraid to ask the questions. Like these are the pieces I really want to work on. Do you do that? Like, can you help me with those pieces? Like, don't be afraid and don't think that there's any low level questions or silly questions. And then also like, you've actually got to invest.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that we can be so afraid of, especially if we're right at the beginning. Like we can see some numbers, especially if you're online, you're just like, what? Like, how do people charge this? Like, it's kind of crazy, but you've actually got to be willing and investing. And the reason I've been able to grow and scale so much is I've always invested before I had the evidence. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it's honestly over $250,000 that I've invested in my growth just since like 2019, I think. And I've always invested into my business. So even my online coaching business, I invested $35,000 into a mentor for a year before I'd even begun.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm all in. I'm in this for the, it's not a hobby. It's not something that I wake up tomorrow and be like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, and it's putting myself into rooms and spaces that are always expanding me and growing me. And so like, even this year alone, like I've just signed up to a 4-month mastermind. It was $25,000. Why? Because I actually wanted to start to be in spaces that are having bigger conversations. Mm. And so you've actually got to invest something. And it doesn't matter if that investment's $500 to begin with, like it, wherever you're at is perfect, like match it for where you're at, but you've got to put something on the line. You can't just keep opting into free stuff and hoping you're going to get a transformation. Like, settle in, have staying power with your coach, like walk with your coach so you actually get to meet yourself and get to know yourself with what it is that you're needing work with. And then also like find the person that that's going to be the right fit for what you're actually needing.
Yeah, I feel I align with that so much. I was always downloading the free things and sometimes you don't even open them. Like you're just like, oh yeah, I'll get to that. And then you've just got now, like I'm unsubscribing to so many things that I never even utilized. And I remember when I invested in starting coaching with you and I was like, I'd just been stood down from my job. I was like waiting for Centrelink to approve my payments. And I got off the call and I was like, so scared. I was like, where the hell do I think I'm getting this money from? But at the same time, I was like, I need this right now. Like I need to do something, or I just know like my mental health is going to go off the deep end. I'm going to like not utilize this downtime in a good way. Like there was just so many factors. And you just, I think too, like it, when it's what you want to do, similar to what you were saying about your business and leaving your job, like you do figure it out when it's really what you want to do. You figure it out. You make things move. You make yourself do what you need to do. So from everything that we've spoken about today, as well as like what your business does as a whole, what would be the really key takeaway that you want people to get from our conversation and to be like, I need to go and follow Laken. Like, this is what I need to know more about.
For me, like I have a podcast as well. So that would be a great place to start. It's Inner Power Podcast. I actually have taken a massive pause. So I'm about to jump back in, but there's 80 odd episodes there that you can kind of get your teeth into to really get a feel for who I am and what I'm about.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, it's like, it's really unlocking your power, coming into my world and into my space, and you're really going to get to see yourself inside of my content, like, and be able to start unlocking those parts of you that have you feel like you can do it, you know, like, and that's really what I want for women. It's like, we're always growing and evolving, and it's funny because it's like, I'm no one special, but really it's like, I am special on the inside of that as well. But it's like, you can make it possible if, like you said, if you go, there's always going to be fear present, but it's like, are you willing to actually take the next step? Like, are you willing to actually make it happen for yourself? And so a lot of like my content, a lot of what I share is really from a perspective of mindset, from boundaries. I really share a lot of my world because it's my brand. And that's been a part of my brand, is I really deeply share my relationship, my children. Because it's what for me has been like the whole picture part of everything that I do, because it really is life and business. And I really believe that how we do life is how business shows up and the results that we do or do not get.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that so much. And you're so right in saying like, you do really lead by example, and while you're sharing personal experiences, they are things that a lot of people would probably bring up in coaching around being a mother, being a partner, being a business owner, or even just like, I have a lot of people ask me like, oh, I don't own a business, but I'm like really into like my career and going through growth periods in my career. Like, is it still applicable? And I'm like, absolutely it is. Like, you're still going through and having to focus on your mindset and your ability to take the next steps and to take action and to have that whole rounded view. So it's definitely not just for people in business. It's for people in all stages and places in life. So the very last thing I like to ask on the podcast is, if you could go back and tell 18-year-old Laken a very important piece of information from everything you've done over this time, what would it be?
This question. I feel like if I could really go back to my 18-year-old self, like knowing that I was pregnant at the time, you know, like it's really all happening for you. Like just trust, like mm-hmm. trust that every step you're taking, even into the unknown, even when it was scary, like it's all, everything is coming. Like just go easy on yourself, like care for yourself, be there for yourself, go easy on yourself, trust yourself. And know that it's all coming, like, and you've got to go through all these seasons and you've got to go through all this growth and you've got to go through this pain and you've got to go through this celebration in order to keep evolving into the woman that you're actually here to be. Like, just trust that, you know? And
yeah,
I think we can so easily want to bypass the challenging times in life and the times that cause us pain, but they're actually some of our biggest growth and wisdom and lessons and knowledge. And if we didn't go through them, we wouldn't be who we are today either.
Yes, absolutely. And I think too, like for a lot of my experiences, when you try and avoid that pain, like it's just waiting there. It's going to come back. Like it's always going to be there. It's not, like you can't just like detour pain. It's all going to come and smack you in the face eventually. And you are going to have to address it sooner rather than later so that you can really move into the next stage. Well, yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to add on to the end? Any pressing points that you think you really wanted to leave, or you're happy with everything we've touched on today?
I just want to say a big thank you to you. Thank you for asking me to be on this podcast. It's honestly been an honor. Like you're such the real deal. I know behind the scenes, willing to do the work and really pull everything towards you. So it's been amazing to watch, you know, everything that you're doing as well come to fruition and the impact that I know you generally want to make for women. So I just want to say a big thank you to you and your audience as well.
Thank you. No, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are. So thank you so much. And I will leave all of Lakin's links back to her social media as well as to her podcast that she mentioned so that you can go and check out everything that she is about and stay in contact with her. Thank you so much, Lakin.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode of the Like She Owns the Place podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and that you learned something new from today's amazing guest speaker. If you do have any questions or feedback, please feel free to reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Like She Owns the Place. And if you did enjoy today's episode, please consider leaving us a review or sharing this episode on your social media. It really does help us to reach more listeners, and we're so thankful for your support. I'll be back next Thursday with another great episode, so be sure to subscribe or follow along on socials to stay up to date. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you this time next week.